The date is March 31st, 1999, and we're watching The Matrix. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the red pill to my blue pill.
Hello, everybody. It's Colin Stewart.
So this week, to continue on with our science fiction month, our science fiction summer, we have brought back another Farm to Fable co-host, a man that we met over there, a man who has been on this show before with our Canadian Bacon episode. Please welcome back Mr. Chris Gofredo. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be back.
So, Chris, we have some business to get out of the way first. Anyone that was following my social media back in June would know that Chris is the man that I had a personal bet with about the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, Edmonton Oilers versus Florida Panthers. I was backing the Oilers, Chris was backing the Florida Panthers, and unfortunately, despite their best efforts, the Oilers came up short. They really tried, but as part of the bet, I do have to announce right here, right now, in 2024, the Florida Panthers are the superior team.
You made it interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah. I was mostly psyched that we didn't get swept. But, they put in an effort. They put in an effort. I wish you could have experienced Stanley Cup playoffs in our city, though. It was electric here.
It looked amazing just watching the games. Like the outside arena you guys have going was incredible. The energy in the arena looked great. It was a good series for sure.
Yeah, like the amount of people that I know who went to Florida for Game 7 from Edmonton is insane. Like,
yes, that's true.
I'm sure. I thought Edmonton was going to take it. You guys had all the momentum going, and Florida looked like they were back on their heels and didn't know what was happening anymore. So.
But I mean, in all fairness, you were a Florida Panthers bandwagon jumper. I mean, your home team is the New Jersey Devils. And so, as also part of the paying up my bet, I am wearing a New Jersey Devils jersey right now while recording this as well. So
I won't say I'm a bandwagoner. I would say I'm a good husband supporting his team.
So this week, we are looking back at March 1999 when the movies and theaters were EdTV, The Mod Squad, 10 Things I Hate About You, Analyze This, and of course our movie for today, The Matrix, which earned a staggering $467.8 million on a $63 million budget.
Damn. That's I'm kind of like blown away.
A little different than the last time we were here.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that too. Yeah, that one was hundreds of thousands of dollars was all that took in. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not that $63 million is a small amount of money, but I would have thought that the cost of The Matrix would have been in the like $100 million realm, considering how new all the CGI and stuff was.
Yeah, that's the sequels. That's the sequels. Yeah.
They were developing so much technology with the bullet time and everything. Like, you would have thought that would have been way more.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
But as always, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, like the fact that we're all living in a simulated reality, then please hit pause, go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say. Go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say. Oh, it's a glitch. Oh,
that's a glitch in The Matrix, yeah.
They changed something.
Yeah.
So I think I have a new record here. I have 15 taglines that I found for this movie.
Inconceivable.
So, buckle up. Here we go. The first one is the long one. Most of them are really short, but the first one is the long one. First one. Perception. Our day-in, day-out world is real. Reality. That world is a hoax. An elaborate deception spun by all-powerful machines of artificial intelligence that control us. Whoa.
Whoa.
It actually says, whoa.
That's not a tagline. That's a summary.
Pretty much, yeah. So, okay, let's get into the short ones here. Number two, the future will not be user-friendly.
Okay.
Yep. Number three, which, I mean, I guess the Australians just wanted to sum it up a little tighter. The Australian poster says the future isn't user-friendly. So instead of will not be, it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, next one, the fight for the future begins. They okay. really wanted the future. These are Terminator taglines, too, right?
Yeah, I was going to say.
they're kind of spoiling the movie a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, next one, free your mind.
That's what I would have expected.
Free your mind and the rest will follow.
Thank you. I was like, what's the next line after that?
Well, next one, believe the unbelievable.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Number eight, reality is a thing of the past.
Okay, yeah. That's not terrible. It doesn't say much, but it's not terrible.
Number nine, what is the Matrix?
Okay.
I feel like that's the right one.
It keeps you guessing, absolutely. Well, number 10 answers that question. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
That sounds like two Fight Club.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Number 11. Remember, there is no spoon.
That doesn't mean anything unless you've seen the movie, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it gets you intrigued, right? I don't know. Well, number 12, welcome to the real world.
Okay.
Number 13, the Matrix has you.
I kind of like that one.
I like that one, yeah.
Number 14, the world's population thinks it's real. On March 31st, they will see the real world. And real world, of course, is in quotation marks. Yeah. Okay, well, I got to save the best for last. I mean, if I'm going to sift through 15 taglines, this is the one that I actually really like. I think this one's clever. In a world of ones and zeros, are you a zero or the one? Come on.
Okay, that one's kind of cool.
Come on.
That one's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Capital T, capital O, the one. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we learned a lot, but maybe not enough. So let's go to Colin and get a 60-second synopsis.
All right. Thomas Anderson spends his time in a dead-end job as a computer programmer by day and as a hacker called Neo by night. He is plagued by a curiosity, a question. What is the Matrix? When a man named Morpheus offers Neo the answer to his question, he swallows a pill and discovers that the world he lives in is not the real world, but a computer simulation. When he awakens in the real world, Neo discovers that Earth has been taken over and ravaged by sentient robots who have enslaved humanity, keeping their bodies alive for future harvesting, while their minds are trapped inside the Matrix. Morpheus believes that Neo is the One, the prophesied savior who will come to free all of humanity from the machines. There you go.
Nice. Yeah, it's amazing how much easier it is to sum up this one than it would be with the sequels. I mean, it's just this one's very straightforward.
Yeah.
It really is. Like I was shocked to see it was as long as it is, because like you said, it's very straightforward. There's not a whole lot of plot going on. Once you figure out what it is, it's just straight to the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, The Matrix. I mean, I remember when this one came out. This is probably one of the most vivid movie-going experiences. I don't know why this one stands out in my head more than just about any other, but I remember exactly what theater I saw it at. I remember the people I was with. I remember just how many snacks we snuck into that theater. We saw a matinee performance, and I mean, we had like deli beef jerky hidden in our jackets. We had a 40 of rum in our jackets. We, you know, that we were mixing to our pop as we went. I mean, by the time we got out of that movie, we could barely walk straight. But boy, did we love that movie when we saw it. And I've loved it since. I've got movie posters up in my house. A lot of movie posters. And I have a set of character posters for The Matrix that I have up on my wall on my way down to my stairwell on the way downstairs here. I've got, a Neo, a Trinity, a Morpheus, and a Agent Smith. I've got some toys over in the back there where it's Neo and Trinity, you know. So I've always loved The Matrix. I was hooked right from the beginning with this movie. So that's me and The Matrix. So, Chris, when I gave you options of sci-fi movies to watch, you came back with a few ideas, but you just kept saying, but I kind of want to just watch The Matrix. And I said, well, fine, we'll do The Matrix. Why try coming up with other ideas if you want to watch The Matrix so bad? We haven't done it, so we're here. Why? Why do you want to do The Matrix?
I mean, I hesitated at first because it seemed kind of like cliche. And let's face it, the whole franchise has been not what it was for a while now, especially after the fourth movie came out.
Yeah.
But this movie, I unfortunately did not see this movie in theaters when it first came out. I don't know why. Like, I just missed it. I don't think I was even aware of it. And I remember, so it came out like right before I graduated high school. And I remember being at my buddy's house, and he had just gotten like a really nice, like, big screen TV and surround system. And he was like trying to show it off. And he's like, we should watch The Matrix. It's the perfect movie for this. And I was like, I've never heard of this, but okay. And I remember being confused out of my mind for like the entire first act. And then when they reveal what's happening, I was like, this is the coolest effing thing I've ever seen in my life.
A lot of the trivia where it comes to people that have rejected this script and said, no, I don't want to do it. Like, it sounds like that was what this movie confused people. And I don't see, like, maybe hindsight of 25 years is different, but I don't see how the concept of this was all that confusing. Or is it just too much in our zeitgeist now?
I don't even think it's that confusing. I think it's just you have to be willing to sit with it for the first like 45 minutes and just accept, okay, I don't know why things are weird here, but they're a little weird, and just go with it until they give you an explanation.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people have the attention span to sit with a movie for 45 minutes until they get an explanation. But yeah. I don't know, this was one of my favorite movies. Like I think I watched this movie like once a week for a solid year or two, like after I saw it, because I just loved it so much. Like, that was early days of like internet where like everybody had their own sites and like everything wasn't just so sophisticated and corporate. And like, I just remember going on to like chat rooms and people's private sites and reading philosophy and like what all the everything meant. And it was, I was obsessed with this movie.
Yeah. Okay. Right on. Colin, The Matrix. What about you? How did it grab you?
I remember watching it for I would have been in 99. I would have been in junior high still. I remember like when it came out and all the fanfare and people like gushing over this movie. It was kind of like this movie and like Fight Club, I feel like, became these like weird, I don't know, they had these like cult follow, whereas like they were movies that people like based their entire identity around, is kind of how I remember them. But I remember watching The Matrix for the first time, and like most of it, I think like went over my head. I just remember thinking that all the like fight scenes were really cool, and that the like bullet time thing was really cool, and just being like kind of wowed by the like the visual aspect of the film. I didn't really like clue into the story. I actually feel like I wanted to ask you guys like where does your history with The Matrix go beyond, like, to Reloaded and Revolutions? And, like, I haven't watched Resurrection. I tried. I watched 20 minutes of it, and I thought it was absolute trash, so I didn't finish it. But I remember I used to really like Reloaded and Revolutions more than the original one. I thought those ones were way cooler. But now I think my opinion's changed.
Yeah, that's part of my feeling of saying that this one is so basic, is because I remember all these complex storylines that were going through the Revelations and Revolution, and the fact that you see a lot more of the real world of Zion and all that stuff. So going back to this, where all you see is a couple of the squids, that's kind of all you really see of anything outside of the spaceship in this one, or the Nebuchadnezzar. I guess it's not really a spaceship, but whatever, the ship, right? It is weird, because those other two, yeah, I agree, they were definitely a big part of me. And once they came out, the things that they were doing in those, the fighting was so much cooler in those ones, that I've probably have gravitated to more of those fight scenes if I just want to watch parts of The Matrix. You know, like the Neo versus a million Smiths fight scene from the the Reloaded. Not
the Burly Brawl from Reloaded, yeah.
Is amazing. Like, I love those ones, even though looking back now, they're really CG. Very yeah. CG, yeah.
I was thinking that when I was watching this movie, I like Reloaded and Revolutions, whenever they're in the Matrix, I feel like I just remember that like green hue that's like not really in this movie at all. Whereas
it's a little, it's like, it's not just a normal, it's not a straight normal coloring when they're in the Matrix, but it's not nearly as green as it is in the sequels.
Yeah, it's not as strong. It is green in the Matrix, blue in the real world, and yellow in the training simulators. They do put filters on them, but yeah, the green is definitely heavier in future movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you guys. I love Reloaded. I thought it was great. Like, I don't think plot-wise it does as much, but I think it's just a really cool exploration of like what is possible in that world if that was real.
Yeah.
And then Revolutions, like, I remember, like, I was a good student, but that was the one time I was like, I'm gonna cut class to go see this movie when it comes out because I remember they did something where it was like the movie premiered literally everywhere at like the same time, so like each time zone was like an hour different, so if you were in the wrong time zone, it premiered at like 2 a.m. or something. And I was like, I'm going to get up and go to see this movie at like 10:30 in the morning or whatever it was. Because I was so into it. And I was definitely disappointed in Revolutions, but I still love the first two.
Yeah.
They didn't stick the landing as hard as they could have. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yes.
And I also agree with what Colin said about the new one. I did watch it all the way through, but I watched it with a phone in my hand. Like, it was probably about the 20-minute mark, about the point where you turned it off, that I think my phone became far more interesting. Yeah.
I remember walking out of the new one, what is it?
Resurrections.
And literally the first words out of my mouth was, well, that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was, it didn't live up to it at all.
And it's funny, Colin, your story reminded me also when I was younger, there was a point where I was pushing back against Harry Potter. I was refusing to jump on the Harry Potter bandwagon. And I knew someone that was the same way with The Matrix. He's like, I refuse to watch those. So we traded DVDs and we both ended up loving each other's other properties. So yeah, you know, the whole idea of an identity is, I guess that's the point when Harry Potter took a stronger lead in my identity than The Matrix did at that point.
Yeah.
Somewhere around 2001. Yeah. Well, okay, here we go. Let's jump into The Matrix. Directed by Lana and Lily Wachowski. Or, you know, as the Wachowski brothers, as they're listed in the credits. I've realized that if it wasn't for IMDb staying up to date, I mean, if I was taking my information straight off of the credit lists, I mean, I may be making some foibles here and there, you know? I'm just saying. Thank you, IMDb, for staying up to date. But produced by Joel Silver and written by Lana and Lily Wachowski. With Neo in this movie, I read that in the first 45 minutes of the movie, he has 80 lines, and 44 of those lines are questions.
Well, do you know that when he first gets in the car and the switch says, I don't have time for 20 questions, that's immediately after he asks his 20th question.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I love the attention to detail that a movie like this gives. Like, they really do think about a lot of those kind of things. I like Easter eggs.
It's cool.
Oh, and they're all over the place in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Apparently Switch, speaking of Switch, was supposed to be a character that in The Matrix was male, but in the real world was female.
Yeah, that's why her name is Switch. That was their version of being trans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think would have been a really cool interpretation for sure.
Was there a reason why they didn't end up doing it?
Warner Brothers wouldn't let them.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if that was, it was like a one of those like things of the times type thing, or if it just
that was pushing the boundary too far for 1999.
Yeah. So I had to laugh because the day before I watched The Matrix, I ended up watching the movie The Perfect Score, which has Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson in it. It's a heist movie. A bunch of high school students are trying to steal the answers to the SATs. And in it, there's a fantasy moment where it's Scarlett Johansson shot-for-shot remake doing the opening Carrie Moss Matrix scene here. You know, shot for shot, like the close-up of looking at her through the elbow and everything like that. And that's one thing I remember about The Matrix for sure, above almost everything, is the fact that it was just everywhere. It was spoofed in everything at the time. And I just found it hilarious that I happened to pick another movie that spoofed The Matrix like the day before.
Yeah, The Matrix is really one of those movies that is like, even the fact that people, when they talk about like whatever, like simulation theory, like you call it The Matrix. Mm-hmm. I don't know if like they... Did the Wachowskis like create that idea of the Matrix, was like there previously things that called it the Matrix and they just picked that up? Or
yeah, I think the idea of living inside a simulation has already existed for a long time.
Yeah,
yeah.
I had thought that there was an anime series or a comic book that this was based on, but I was looking it up this morning and I could not find anything that said it was based on an existing property.
Yeah, this came along because they were trying to write a new property. They had a comic book idea and they made it into a movie instead.
Yeah. Huh.
I mentioned Carrie Ann Moss. Let's talk about this cast that we have here.
All right, we got Keanu.
That wasn't the smoothest segue that I've ever done. But,
yeah, we got our boy Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Is Neo.
Famously, a part that was going to be Will Smith, but he did Wild Wild West instead. There's a regret for you.
He's actually been on record as saying it's a good thing he didn't do it because he would not have done it justice like Keanu Reeves did.
Well, I mean, you gotta have a certain personality to ask all those questions. Oh,
yeah.
What's going on? Oh, what is the Matrix?
Yeah, for some reason, it's like Will Smith just doesn't... I feel like he doesn't have the face to be Neo. That makes... Yeah. Like, I just can't imagine him... I don't know. He's kind of funny looking. Yeah.
He would have put way too much energy into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a certain coolness to the characters in The Matrix that... Yeah, I don't think Will Smith was bringing the same kind of cool at the time.
I see some other alternate... Like, there's like Nicolas Cage... Val Kilmer, I could have seen either of those guys. More Val Kilmer I could see. Nicolas Cage, I feel like, would have been a little wild.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard for me to, like, not see Nicolas Cage as he is now.
That's
and
true.
And try to, like, remember how he was back then.
Yeah, because this was, like...
You got a picture of Gone in 60 Seconds Nicolas Cage.
Gone in 60 Seconds Nicolas Cage. City of Angels Nicolas Cage. That was 98.
Yeah.
So he's calm and collected in that, you know? In City of Angels, he brought the coolness of Seth.
Apparently, somebody said that the Lorenzo Di Bonaventura said that the screenplay was also sent to Sandra Bullock for the role of Neo. That would have been interesting.
For Neo?
Yeah.
That would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we have Lawrence Fishburne as Morpheus, Carrie Ann Moss as Trinity, Hugo Weaving as Agent Smith.
God, I love Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
And it's great for me because I did Priscilla, Queen of the Desert recently. So that's a very different Hugo Weaving than that. And so it's fun.
Yeah, I love Hugo Weaving. He's, I mean, I just, like, Agent Smith, I think, is maybe, he's in my top three movie villains for sure.
Yeah.
No, he's having a great time in this role. He's just chewing some scenery and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe Pantoliano is Cypher.
Joey Pants. I think Joey Pants might be the most seen person on I Used to Like This One. Holy cow. Yeah, this has to be like 6 or 7 for Joey Pants.
Yeah. Marcus Chong is Tank. Matt Doran is Mouse. Rowan Witt is the... Oh, that's the Spoon Boy. Gloria Foster is the Oracle. Anthony Ray Parker is Dozer.
Yeah.
Well, I got Julian Arahanga is Apoc. Linda McClory is Switch. I need to know, one of these agents, so there's like Paul Goddard, Robert Taylor, and oh yeah, those two.
Yeah, Agent Jones and Agent Brown, yeah.
I need to see what their faces. One of them looks like uncannily like our conservative party leader, Pierre Poilievre, and it was bothering me the entire movie. Yeah, I think
these
that's it.
Agents don't appear in any of the other Matrixes, do they? Like,
no,
I feel
there's
like
a
from
different agent that shows up in the next two movies, and it's he's the only one. They don't have like different agents. There's just multiple copies of the
Agent
new one.
Smith for the most part, too, right? Like, it's
well
after
Smith
this
isn't an agent anymore.
Yeah, he becomes
well,
a virus, and then
that's true. Yeah, right on. So there we go. Yeah, cast list. I was trying to put myself in the mindset the whole time with this movie, where I'm just like, oh, right, what was it like in 1999 when you had no idea what the fuck was going on? You know, like the whole knock knock, Neo, wake up, Neo. You know, like, yeah.
When nobody really knew what computers could do, and you could just tell them they could do whatever you wanted as a screenwriter.
We've seen that on this show a few times, especially with the 1980s movies, where we have movies like Explorers or Weird Science, where the computers are basically magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one in Explorers was powered by a D-cell battery. I mean, 9-volt battery powering this, you know, amazing technology. Okay, sure.
Yeah. I can help but feel on this watch that the Matrix really plays in current day like an episode of Black Mirror. Like,
yeah.
it has that vibe of like, oh, this is what the future could be, and this is what, like, you know, this is what could happen, and that kind of stuff. It's very similar. I've not watched this one in particular in a long time. For whatever reason, I found myself like more engaged than I had ever. I was like, oh, I'm actually like picking up what the whole story is. Like, I don't even think I could have told you like how Neo gets to the blue. Like, I only remember like post the pill offer. I didn't remember any of that like first part, but I was so impressed by like the cinematography and the performances. Like, I've always thought Keanu Reeves was kind of like, I don't know, a dud. I never really like went for his motif of whatever he's doing, but watching this
he's
movie
usually very wooden, but it just works for this character.
Yeah, with this character, I was like, man, it's brilliant. It's working so well.
Well, yeah, and I also love, I mean, this is a time with these movies, you know, you bring up Black Mirror or something like that. Just the fact that it's like, it's all pulsating club music, and you know, like, we get there and it's the remix of Dragula going on, and rock and roll atmosphere that was going on in the late 90s where everything was punk.
Yeah.
You know?
New metal.
Yeah.
That type of shit.
Yeah, I even think about the fact that 25 years ago this one tattoo would not have stood out the way it does in 1999.
The
white tattoo.
Rabbit.
Yeah.
So the movie starts with, like, Trinity, right?
Yeah, the movie starts with the Trinity scene. Yeah, I guess I kind of glossed over that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some major wire fighting and some fancy kicks and flips.
They do a good job easing us into it, where, like, that whole scene is, like, there's nothing terribly, like, okay, she kind of does the run on the wall thing, and you're like, okay, that's not real, but it's not, like, completely outlandish.
Yeah.
Until she, like, jumps the gap,
mm-hmm.
like, between
mm-hmm.
buildings. And then even then, like, The agent follows her, and he just does it too. So you're like, all right, so we're just in this world where, like, this stuff's possible. Okay. Until the cop runs up and is like, no, that's impossible. Just, like, letting you know straight up. No, we are in the real world. That shouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
Something's going on here.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it starts off feeling almost like a superhero movie until you get to the part where you're like, oh, this isn't, like, they set up the dual reality type situation.
Yeah, what's going on with the phone? I mean, you're watching this movie these days. It's like, who even calls these days? That's a text message. Come on. Yeah. But no, I remember I was watching it with my Tracy, and it was the same sort of thing where she couldn't remember the movie very well, so it was taking her a minute to go. So it was that exact reaction that you're talking about, though, where it's like, whoa, wait. Why can she jump across that huge gap? So it was nice to kind of watch it with someone that was sort of seeing it for the first time. Like, she's seen it. She just completely forgot it, though.
Mm.
And they set that up everywhere. Like, there's so much of these little things going on in that beginning where it's like, why is that? Like you said, why can someone hop onto his computer and tell him to wake up and knock knock and all these little things, like, and you're seeing it from Neo's perspective the whole way, just like, because he's asking, you said he's asking all the questions. Why can you do that? How do you know
did Trinity know that he was going to be at the club? Yeah. And then, of course, you know, the next morning he ends up at work and gets scolded by his boss a little bit because he slept in again. But this is when Neo ends up getting a package. A big old package of Sponsorship Corner!
There it is.
It's funny because Chris texted me and he's like, oh, this is going to be a big Sponsorship Corner. And I'm like, well, I haven't watched the movie yet, but I look forward to it. I didn't find much. So I don't know if you kept like a secondary list, but you're like, oh, his apartment has a ton. And it's like, well, his apartment's cluttered, but I didn't see any labels.
So you know what? I think I just kind of assumed there were a lot of labels sitting in there somewhere because I feel like there should be.
Yeah, it seems like the sponsors that are in this movie, they made sure they mattered. So, yeah. Always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, The Matrix is brought to you by, well, FedEx. That's who the package was from. Panasonic Electronics. Inside that FedEx package was a Nokia phone. Lincoln and Ford vehicles. Radiola televisions. Hewlett-Packard printers. Sol beer. And Pepsi Cola. That's all I got. Plus the possibly... Well, I'm getting there. Plus the possibly fictional Ollie's Oranges, MMI, Aeon, Norwich, Molfa, Metacortex, and the Heart of the City Hotel. And plus, even though the name is never actually shown on the battery, when Morpheus holds it up, we know that's a Duracell. It's a Duracell. We know it is, but it doesn't say Duracell. Well, but there's references, the copper top, the battery...
So exactly.
I will say Duracell, but I do have to point it out that we don't actually see the words Duracell on screen. But there we go. This has been Sponsorship Corner. I try to stay honest with it. You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's like everything points at that being a Duracell battery, but I don't know. I don't see the words.
Maybe the machines didn't know it was a Duracell battery.
That's right.
They just knew what they looked like.
The scene in the office is still pretty cool. The whole, you know, duck and, you know, there's two guys coming in. That whole cat and mouse scene, I still like that scene. That was always
And the Wachowskis have a cameo in that scene. See him, and when he's in his boss's office, and there's the two people cleaning the windows, that's the Wachowskis.
Oh. Huh. Interesting. That's cool. I definitely read about a lot of injuries that kicked off this movie. Everyone seemed to have been injured right off the bat. Hugo Weaving ended up hurting himself, and it turned out to be a polyp on his leg that he had to get removed. And Carrie Ann Moss ended up spraining her ankle or something like that. And Keanu Reeves had neck problems that he was dealing with. And all of them were keeping them hidden because they didn't want to get fired from the movie.
I had never heard that before.
Yeah, first day of shooting, Hugo Weaving suffered an injury to his leg, but it turned out to be a polyp that was surgically removed. But they moved all his stunt stuff to the end of film shooting. Keanu Reeves had a 2-level fusion of his cervical spine, which began to cause paralysis in his legs. So he underwent neck surgery, and then, yeah, he had... That's why he doesn't kick much in the movie.
Oh.
I guess he does more hand stuff because, yeah, he was dealing with his partial leg paralysis. So, you know, anything for the art. And then look at him now, right? Like, I mean, he's just Mr. Action, so I guess the surgery took, right?
Yeah.
But he uses guns, lots of guns.
That's right. So, yeah, Neo ends up getting captured, and then he gets bugged, ba-dum-bum, and wakes up and it was all a dream, right?
That's a brilliant scene of like they never show the thing like go into his belly button, but like just having like the camera like show the belly button and show the thing, and then like I don't know, it's cringe. It's I was just like that.
Well, you start
it
to
made
see
me
it
feel
crawl
uncomfortable.
In, but, yeah, you start to see it crawl in. Yeah,
yeah, I'm
but
pretty sure you
you see.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm wrong then.
I don't think you see it fully disappear into his belly button. But
I know you see. I know you see it like kind of like clawing at his skin or whatever. It reminds me of like, I can't remember what that movie is where they have the rat in the pail and they're like lighting it on fire. It's like a gangster movie.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah, there you go. and they're like, oh, you have to worry when they get quiet.
You know, the one thing like with the bug, the one thing I noticed is that like. The effects are actually kind of solid. Like they still hold up.
Yeah, there's a couple spotty ones here and there. But
there
for
are.
The most part,
yeah.
Actually, I think when they first take the bug out and they like move it over his stomach, it looks really like the depth perception's off. But other than that, a lot of it really does hold up.
It wasn't as cringy as some of the other special effects that from the 90s that we've seen.
Yeah.
Like they definitely did take the time back then. You can definitely tell.
Yeah, I expected the disappearing mouth thing to be worse than it was.
Yeah.
It looked legit.
Yeah, even that was okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine having to be Keanu Reeves that day with his mouth just, like, glued shut for however long it was.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah. Yeah. I guess Neo's passport expired on September 11th, 2001.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a Matrix thing.
That's creepy.
Right? Yeah. It's pretty terrifying.
But then you get into the details again. Neo's apartment is 101.
Right, so we're talking basic coding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. Red pill or blue pill, guys?
Oh, that's a question. The problem is you don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like, I'd be like, what do you mean you can't tell me? Tell me. Because Cypher has got a point. You could tell me what this is.
Yeah, I guess both of the Wachowskis have gone on record saying blue pill, but I feel like Joey Pants has the right idea. I mean, once you find out how shitty the real world is, it's kind of like, nah, put me back. I'm good.
You know what? I might even be like, put me back and I don't want to forget anything. Just like, I'm okay with knowing I'm here and I'm having an awesome steak. Oh, and I have superpowers? Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you were like able, like if you had his deal and you could kind of like customize your experience, it would be one thing.
Mm.
Like if that was the case, I'd probably. I mean, I actually think if I'm being, I would blue pill either way. But I mean, even that comes with like knowing the reality, because I just think like I think it's. I want to say red pill because that's. It'd be cool to say red pill, but like I don't know. The world seems kind of shitty. I don't know that I would like. Like what is the point even like,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
There's not you're not like going into like something you're just trading like one bad thing for another bad thing I guess like maybe you're technically like quote-unquote free but I mean how free are
you
you
also still... think about he's been looking for this for I don't know a few years right like can you imagine trying to figure something out for a few years and then just being like nah I'm walking away
yeah
like
it would well, still we can't you. Tell you yeah.
That's what I mean. If you're like Neo, where you're kind of like seem like you have some sort of ability to like see, he has an ability to see like something is amiss even before the offer is made.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think if you're having that feeling, yeah, you would take the red pill. But I think I would be like Cypher, where once I saw what reality was, I'd be like. I should have blue pilled it. Like I should have just stayed well, out.
Even Neo says in. At one point, he says I can't go back. Can I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I would take simulated steak over, like, the snot that they have to eat on the ship, that's for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a horrible existence in comparison.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that we get our introduction of Morpheus. Yeah, that was, I guess, a way of getting into Morpheus. I know how a lot of the tricks are done because I've seen enough behind the scenes stuff on this, but I still love like the shot of him with the sunglasses and the pills in his hands, like the cinematography, yeah. Like what they do with the, you know, or him reaching for the one chrome doorknob. Like it's all them with hidden cameras and stuff like that, but they're still great shots. Yeah. I love the introduction of Morpheus still.
Oh, it's real interesting too. Like I found it really funny. It's the first time I was really, first time I've seen it in a long time, and I was like, he's not speaking like a cult leader, but he's definitely saying things that a cult leader would say.
Yes.
Yeah, that is true. I didn't know that Morpheus in Greek mythology is the god of dreams, though. I knew that the name was from mythology, I just forgot what he was, and so it's like, so Morpheus in this is like the guy that wakes you up from your dreams, I guess.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And he even says you've been living in a dream world.
Yeah.
That's true.
I would say prior to this watch, I've been kind of like whatever on Morpheus, but after this watch, I think Morpheus is my favorite character in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like, I just think I like that character a lot, and I like Lawrence Fishburne's performance. I think, like, I just think he's amazing. I just, like, anytime he was on screen, I just, like, zoned in. It's kind of like you were talking about with Resurrections, the thing that immediately threw me off was when Morpheus wasn't him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When it was like a new guy. And I was like, oh, it's just not the same. I don't know. His like the way he talks, it reminded me. I love his the monologue that he kind of has when he like, I think it's after Neo like gets all his needles and stuff in there, and he's like kind of showing him what the world is and all that. It just like,
oh, when he's in the construct and he's just like, what is real? Real is just electrical signals. It's such a great scene.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And it was just, it reminded me, there are aspects of this movie where even though it's so like grand and science fiction-y, I was watching it, I was like, this could be a play. The way it's set up and the way the scenes, like they're so like cut off from each other because they're going into different places. I was like, somebody should make a Matrix like stage play somehow.
I'm sure someone's tried. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I do love all those little bits, like all the little training programs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still love, oh, I know Kung Fu. Like, you know.
I mean, the whole little tea house scene or whatever it is where they have their first fight is like iconic.
Yeah, quit trying to hit me and hit me. Yeah,
he's that line in particular is like Morpheus. Like I said, his delivery is so perfect. He's so slow and measured with everything he says, except for that line. You see him just bust out, and he's just like, "I need to try something to get him to do something." And he just like screams, "You gotta stop trying to hit me and hit me."
Yeah.
My only critique of Morpheus really is those sunglasses. As cool as they look, I'm like, I wonder if they thought maybe in making this movie that those little like nose clip glasses were going to take off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not very comfortable.
They must have been so uncomfortable. Yeah. They were cool, but they had to be so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like, I just don't, like, how tight they must have to be to stick to his face like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have you ever had to wear, like, nose plugs for a pool or something like that? Like, yeah, it's, Well, it's annoying.
All right, I'll take your word for it. I can breathe through my nose, I'm good.
they were all about design though in that movie. I mean, you said it before, the Nokia phone was like the coolest thing in the world back in 1999. It was like, it slides open, that's so awesome.
I know, that was so rad. Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting there wondering whether some of the ideas that they have about the future and, you know, the robots taking over, was this some Y2K panic when they made this movie, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Got to put myself in the mindset of, like, someone making a movie in the late 90s, so.
Well, every time I see that Boston Dynamics robot, this is what I think about. That one that can, like, do backflips and, like, cartwheels and shit. I was like, why are you guys making a robot that can move this way? Like,
Didn't you see Terminator?
That's right. Or The Matrix. Yeah, geez, guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like, forget Godzilla Kong, Terminator Matrix is the, that's the crossover property I want to see.
I think so, yeah.
That'd be pretty interesting, yeah.
Has to be, yeah.
Which is your favorite dystopian future ruled by robots?
AI, the Steven Spielberg movie. No,
okay.
The problem plaguing the 2020s, yeah.
Not Bicentennial Man? Is that the Robin Williams one?
Bicentennial Man, yeah, that's the one. Yeah. I did not know that they used twins in the Woman in Red scene.
They're all twins.
Yeah, so that, like, the training program looks like it's repeating people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all cast with twins. It's just another one of those little things.
It's one of those things you don't notice until you know about it, and then you can't miss it.
Yeah.
Is it so, like, because it's obviously like they wanted to do it like practical, so it's like as they're walking, like the person comes by again type thing?
No, they're all walking in pairs.
I also have an example of, like, there's a tall man with slicked back hair and sunglasses in an opening shot, but a few seconds later, he's also a police officer writing a parking ticket.
Yeah.
So there's things like that, too, where it's just you just see the same face immediately following another one. Yeah. I mean, I also like the idea that the machines couldn't figure out what chicken tasted like, so that's why everything tastes like chicken. It's a solid theory.
Yeah, there's a lot of really smart stuff like that.
there's a lot of that stuff that sounds really, really philosophical, and then you think about it, it means absolutely nothing in, like, the real world. There's, like, that scene where Morpheus is like, do you think your speed and strength has anything to do with your muscles or here, or do you think that's air you're breathing? Like, oh, that's really deep. And you're like, but it's not deep. It's just something that would be a fact in this world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's always been a couple things that the Oracle says that always has me going, is that deep? I don't know. Yeah, like the what will really bake your noodle later on is, would you have broken it if I hadn't said anything? It's like, okay, I guess. Is that a tree falling in the forest type situation? I don't know whether that's as deep as baking my noodle later on. You know, like it's
just a, hey, here's a counterfactual you don't know the answer to.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't worry about the vase. It's all good. I remember that was one of the big deals with the sequel, is the fact that it was a new oracle. And they're like, oh, well, anytime it resets. And it's like, well, no, it's actually because this lady died shortly after making this movie. So they had to recast her. But see, at least with a character like the Oracle, you have a way out, though.
They tried to give it a reason, but it was kind of like, just gloss over it.
How do you guys feel about Trinity? I want to like her, but I find her, like, kind of, like, bland. Like, she's too, like, one note in this movie. Like, she's cool. She looks really cool and does some cool stuff, but I was like, can you...
Emote?
Smile, maybe? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Well, I agree with that to the sense that, like, once we get to the end with the whole I'm in love with you moment that saves the day... doesn't feel as earned as it should, and part of that is because the whole way through she's not really dropping the hints that she has these affection. There's only a couple moments where she does, but for the most part, like, there's when you're that straight faced all the time, it's hard to believe that you are building feelings.
I don't even mind her performance. I think she's cool. I just think there's no reason for them to have to get together other than Oracle prophesies this, and she needs to have her prophecy come through. Like, other than that, it's just like, okay, here's a cool character who's like,
she's like the heavy.
Although watching it this time, I actually think it paid off. Resurrections, which is the fourth one, which, for spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen that, it turns out in the end that, like, it's not Neo that's the one; they're like the two or something. Like, the two of them together make the one. They have all the power, and, like, at the end of that one, she's, like, more powerful. And you can watch this one and go, okay, I can see where she would be more powerful than him at certain spots.
Mm. Okay.
That made the fourth one seem more earned, but it still just kind of, like, negates three movies before it.
I think also, just with your comment, Colin, when there's so many more interesting characters, right? Like, if you're looking and drawn into Morpheus anytime he's on screen... I mean, yeah, she just becomes window dressing. Like, she just fades into the background because there is nothing... She is cool, but there's nothing that's really making her stand out above some of the other characters in this.
Yeah, I was just noticing, like, watching this one and, like, remembering more so Reloaded and Revolutions. Because in that one, like, they're, like, clearly, like, in love and stuff. And there's, like, more emotion between the two of them. But when I was watching... this movie, I was kind of like, the idea that she's in love with him kind of is just, like, stated after she finds out that he says he's not the one. And she's like, well, that, or She's like, oh, that can't be. Like, and you can see, and then you can see it on her face, like she's confused because she's thinking about what the Oracle told her. But prior to that,
Nothing.
there's no idea, you have no idea that she would be in love with him. Like they haven't really had
Yeah,
any
they just need a
moments.
reason for him to wake up at the
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like.
end.
They kind of give everybody on the team like gets a little bit of a moment, but I would have liked more of the actual team to see what they were about. Like I would have liked them to be involved more in like APOC and Switch. I feel like they're kind of just there and then they get killed. Like you don't really get to know them that well.
Yeah, Joey Pants takes them out pretty quick. I mean, a dark scene, but yeah, it is almost like it would have been nice if that could have been a bit later in the movie so you had a bit more time to get to know them. But I mean, really, with what we do know about Switch, she just doesn't have time for anybody.
But they're dropping hints that Cypher's the bad guy real early on.
Yeah, that was surprising to me.
But if you watch it again, like literally the opening before you even see a shot, you hear him on the opening call in the beginning, and they're like, if you know he's the bad guy, it's pretty clear he's the bad guy right away. Like, because Trinity says right away, like, what was that? Is this line bugged? And he's like, no, it's not. And it's like, well, okay, you're the operator, you would know. And then when you realize he's talking to Smith, you're like, oh, it was bugged, and he did it.
What is a wet wall?
Wet wall, architecture term.
Okay.
And architect, so I can answer this. It is the
Excellent.
wall with all the plumbing on it.
Ah, see, from context, that's what I thought it might be, but yeah, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, so that wall's has to have a specific width in there to run pipes and everything. And a lot of times you stack your bathrooms so that you can just have a gap where all the pipes run. You don't have to go through like floors and stuff. So that's what that is. That's just a big tall wall that's going to run the height of the building where all the plumbing is.
Okay, now since you are an architect, maybe I can finally get an answer to this question. In movies, you quite often see these slat walls rather than just regular, studs and drywall. Were these slat walls like a big thing? Because that's all you ever see in movies. Like,
That's very old construction. You're talking probably 20s to 50s before they developed drywall. So
okay.
they would put up these slats and then just literally put plaster over them.
Okay, yeah,
And then
just
when they
because
developed
it's.
sheetrock, it just they didn't have to do that anymore. They just screw up sheetrock.
So basically, every movie I've seen, the house was built pre-1950 then. Okay. I mean, they always look so cool because they always have so much fun with them. They're throwing people through them, or in this case, when they're sliding down, and popping pieces off. It always looks so cool, but you never see them in the renovation shows or things like
Yeah, I mean,
that.
they're really old buildings that are like that. Like my house is built in the mid 50s and I don't have that. So you're talking real old houses. The other thing is though, would they have enough room to fit in there? Not as much as they're showing. You're probably talking 11, 12 inches tops and there'd be full of piping. So you're not sliding down that like that.
Well, they're all really fit and skinny,
Maybe that's a glitch in the Matrix. They don't know
That's
that it's
right.
supposed to be that thin.
That's right.
Or
Yes.
they just don't need the pipes because it's just a computer program.
That too.
So is Neo then just basically like the top ranked Sims player in the world because he's like figured it out? Is that kind of what we got going on? No? The Matrix is the
But he didn't
Sims?
figure it out, did he? He had to be
Yeah,
told
he did
or
have to be
shown.
shown. That's right. Because you can't be told. We know that.
The kid figured it out if you watch the sequels. I don't know if you guys have seen the Animatrix at all or not.
I have, yes,
I
actually.
haven't.
It's nine short films. Yeah.
Yeah, so the kid who's obsessed with Neo in the two sequels, he one of the short films in the Animatrix is him getting out, and he basically figures out that something's wrong and appears to commit suicide, but that's how he gets out by like jumping off a building.
I was thinking that it's odd, because obviously, like, Neo's actual body's just been grown in this tube. And, like, after he gets out, this is more like a logic thing, I guess, but it's like, after they get out, they're like, oh, your muscles are so atrophied, like, you wouldn't be able to move. But I would question then, he's one of the people, I'm assuming, who's been born inside of this thing. would he have any musculature at all to be able to even like pull the thing out of it, or like stand or like do any of the stuff that he ends up doing?
Yeah, probably not. Not the way it's described.
And then I was also thinking, like, I had never thought about this before, like when they after he gets up and the robot comes in, and are they just like ejecting him into like the garbage? Is that what's happening there?
Well, the thought that I came up with, I actually thought about that. I figured that everyone just lives inside these pods until they age and die, and then I think they just get flushed into the sewer afterwards.
See, the thing that bothers me about that is, though, they say that specifically, if you die, they liquefy you and feed you to the dead. So how do you
Oh,
get to that situation if they're
that's
just flushing you
right.
down the toilet?
That's right, yes. Unless that's the method of getting them there. I mean, it's like rolling logs down the river to the sawmill. Same idea.
Maybe.
They float them down the river to the human liquefying plant. I
I
don't
mean, theoretically, it could be like that. That would be the fail safe. You're like, oh, this one escaped the Matrix and woke up. They have hundreds of thousands, millions of people. Like, they could just eject them into that water reservoir, or whatever it is. That they have no musculature, so they're just going to drown and die anyways.
know.
It is kind of weird that they're specifically looking for Neo, and they just let him out, and then once he gets out, this machine comes and just disconnects him so he can run away.
Yeah.
Oh, you woke up. You're no use to us now. That's why I figured it was, yeah, a way of flushing them away. I don't know. They don't explain the human farms well enough in the Matrix. That's what
They
we need. We
don't.
need a fifth Matrix, but it's all just about the human farm.
Well, I was thinking too, like, I think I made something up where I thought that like the robots correlated to the agents somehow. I don't know if that's real, but I remember I used to think that's how it worked.
Yeah, I don't remember
That
that being a thing.
that's not in the, that's not in any of the movies
Okay, that's just something I
specifically.
made up then.
Unless you count Smith at some point, like takes over someone who then unplugs, so he has control of that person's body outside,
Yeah,
but
I remember that. Yeah, I think when I watched this as like a 13 or 14 year old, I thought like at the end I was like, oh well, they're getting attacked by robots in the real world and they're getting attacked by agents in the Matrix, and I just thought there's like four and four, and I was like, oh, it
they
must be
must be
like this the
connected.
same
That
or
makes
something.
sense. Yeah, I'm picking it up. Yeah, I see where you could have gotten that. Yeah. So after they all escape in the wet wall, Morpheus sacrifices himself. Boy, the lobby shootout, still like probably MVP scene, I think.
Oh, so good.
That scene is not nearly as long as I remember it being, but it's still incredible.
Yeah, like the toys that I was talking about, that's what the scene is that these toys are, is the lobby scene. But I mean, I've always loved just even the fact that like the last little bit of rubble that falls after they get in the elevator was not supposed to happen. That was an accident and they left it in, and that's just always been one of my favorite goofs that has stayed in a movie right there.
Really, I didn't know that. That's fun. I like that.
Yeah, that last pillar that crumbles.
But to go to Trinity being kind of a I don't know, I wouldn't say a bland character, but like I do love the fact that Neo goes in there with like more guns than you can count, like ready to take on everybody. And Trinity walks in with one gun, shoots a guy, puts it down, and takes on the entire rest of that army, like without a single, like unarmed. She's just like, I'm taking you down. I don't need him.
That's true.
Never thought about that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Which I think is why I was saying before, like there are parts where she seems like she's more powerful than him because he needs all that, and she does like, I got it.
Well, maybe he's just doesn't believe yet. She's been unplugged long enough that she gets what she can do. He's not
Well,
quite there
I'll
yet.
say this. I did pick up this on this watch. If you watch Neo, you can see his wardrobe change as he gains more confidence and more power. Like when they first take him out and they're taking him into the Matrix, he's wearing like dark jeans and like a jacket. And then, like, when they take him to the Oracle, he's wearing, like, okay, he's got kind of a cool blazer and, like, black pants. And then that last time he walks in, he's in, like, he's got the high boots and the long trench coat. And it's like, he really does, like, slowly evolve into what everyone else is wearing, which I thought was a nice bit of filmmaking.
Keeps purchasing the new skins and keeps moving up in the world.
That DLC, you gotta keep up with it.
Yeah, that's right. The helicopter scene is also very cool. Like, I mean, I guess, you know, like, not just the lobby, this whole ending, like, they definitely understood the assignment for this last, for the ending of this movie. The helicopter crashing into the building,
I noticed right before the helicopter scene when they're on the roof and there's that the iconic bullet time scene where they, like, you know, Trinity, or Neo says, "Trinity, help," and they, like, pan around him.
Yeah, a little janky. Like, that's... little janky, yeah.
Like, I can forgive that it was 1999, but, like, when they do that pan, you see Neo there in the center, and there's the agent, and there's the helicopter, and there's the building, and Trinity is not in that shot.
Oh.
And it's, they the camera goes, you can see exactly where she was standing, and she is not in that shot, and then she comes back and shoots the agent. I was like, oh, they forgot something.
Oh. Yeah, I've never noticed. Huh.
Or any of the other dead officers they've already massacred on that roof.
Yeah, well... it's the Matrix. They disappear.
Exactly.
God, I love the idea of just being able to load a program in and know something immediately. I mean, just...
wouldn't that be amazing?
I need to know how to fly a helicopter. Now I know. Awesome.
I mean,
you know, like...
red pill worth it right there. Just to be able to, like, I need to know how to do this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm doing something at home and I'm like, I need to learn how to do this. And I sit there and watch 37 YouTube videos that are all conflicting. No, just download me. I want to know.
That's right.
Yeah, I've always thought that was like, if there was one thing that would be worth it, it would be that.
Yeah.
That just being able to learn how to do anything you wanted to do.
Yeah, that's right. You know, can my answer be red pill, but I want to spend all my time in the Matrix anyway?
Yeah,
exactly. Yes, that's what I want.
Yeah, you get the red pill, but then you just find a really secure location and hire some security, and then you just live in the Matrix.
That's right. Well, yeah, because having to get up to broadcast depth to be able to get into the Matrix, it's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's dangerous. That's high risk. You need some really good security if that's the case. You need some Terminators.
You know what I was thinking, though, is like... if somebody did that, I feel like they would be tempted to kind of, like, go GTA and just be like, oh, I'm just gonna, like, kill people and, like... just
do whatever I want.
And do whatever I wanted to. And I was wondering, like, in the actual Matrix, is there murder? Like, do people kill each other? Like, because like wouldn't that...
if you die in the Matrix, you die in the real world, so it, yeah.
Yeah, like, so, how would you know, like, if they were, like, NPCs or something like that, or, like, or if you're a real person? Like, I'm assuming it... and if you don't know it's the Matrix, I'm assuming that the machines want to keep everybody alive, but then, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you... yeah.
I don't think there are any non-player characters, because the only ones... they're all people.
Yeah.
Except for agents who are taking over people.
Yeah.
Right? I guess in the... in the second one, we find out there are, like, rogue programs, right?
Yeah.
They so mention, like, vampires and stuff, and, like, are all, like, rogue programs.
So if taking over another person, does that, like, leave them brain dead then?
They don't...
once an agent has taken them over?
I think they pretty much get killed and then the agent leaves. They don't ever actually show them just leave someone as an agent.
Yeah, because I have to assume the same thing, that everyone, like, it's not a bunch of NPCs. I have to assume that everyone that is in there is a real person in the human farm. So if we've got a murderer in the Matrix, yeah, those they're killing off some of the batteries. That's why capital punishment exists. The Matrix is like, we gotta get rid of this one bad battery because it's killing off all these other batteries. I don't know.
That'd be an interesting, when Agent Smith goes bad, he kind of, like, just is trying to, like, take over all the other agents. But if he really wanted to mess up the machines, he should have just went around, like, becoming a mass murderer and killing all their food supply.
Yeah.
Mm. But then he goes down, too, because he's in the Matrix. The machines can't run anymore.
I guess.
But he's the king of the Matrix.
Still gotta exist.
I guess in Revolutions, he starts taking over, like, actual people, though, too. Because by the end, there's, like, that was his whole thing. That's why Neo needed to, like, sacrifice himself, was to, like, basically, like, rid the Matrix of the entire virus.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we also end the movie with the big subway fight. I have. He's trying to get to the phone, and we're getting a Point Break chase through the city where everyone is turning into Agent Smith. But that's all I could think of with Keanu running through the city was,
Yeah, he's even jumping some
it's Johnny
fences.
Utah running through the city,
I
getting
mean,
chased by the same agent.
If you want to get into the little foreshadowing with what would happen with the Wachowskis, you know, we talked earlier about how Switch was supposed to be trans. I didn't even realize this till recently. Agent Smith is literally deadnaming Neo the entire movie by calling him Mr. Anderson.
Yeah.
And at the end, he's like, no, my name is Neo. I'm done with this. Stop calling me that.
True. True. Yeah. Well, even the movie itself is, you know, like the going from one version of yourself to a different version of yourself and being reborn. Like even that, I mean, retroactively, now that they have come out as trans, has been like, yeah, that's what we were going for all the whole time. It's like, okay, well, I guess I can see the nuggets you guys were dropping.
Yeah, there were definitely hints being dropped all along for sure.
Yeah. So in the end, the princess kisses Neo to wake him up, and he is the one. And
in ironically, the same room that the movie starts out in.
Yeah, and I also love how the end of the movie, you know, he's flying, everything's great, and then like they kind of backed it up for the second movie. He's not really flying around as much in the second movie. Yeah,
he does a few times, but
it takes him a while to get back there. At the end of the credits, I meant to check this out. At the very end of the credits, it says that go to www.whatisthematrix.com, and the password is steak.
Steak?
I'm wondering whether this is, yeah, password is steak. I'm wondering whether the website is dead.
I mean, if it still exists, I'm sure it's like real bad HTML.
No, it can't. It tries to redirect me to matrixresurrections.net.
Yeah.
And it's down or it's been moved. Yeah, that's too bad. I was wondering what you get for when you enter stake on this website. But that was my one little bit of, you know, kind of post-credit stuff that we got out of the Matrix is at the very end of the credits. Yeah, it's visit whatisthematrix.com, password stake, so...
That would have been interesting to see what that was. I don't know how I missed that.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
So there's a Reddit thread somewhere.
Probably. Yeah. Well, there we go. I think that's the Matrix. Now, Colin, Chris, on IMDb, it scored 8.7 out of 10 and has a Metascore of 73. On Rotten Tomatoes, 83% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 85%. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like, not trying to hit me, but hitting me. Hit me with some reviews!
All right. As you can imagine, the majority of the reviews were very glowing, but so I tried to find some one-star reviews, but I'll start with the five from Jared Van Houten. He says, despite its foul language, minor violence, and some images definitely not suitable for kids, The Matrix is an unequaled masterpiece in cinematic filmmaking. Simply put, I've never seen anything like The Matrix, a powerful film that helps you rethink the power of your mind without rewiring the way you look at the human world. Action is prevalent everywhere, even in the mysterious stoic beginning. Romance is sincere without too much funky gunky, and the psychological power of the agents almost makes you feel like they actually care about humanity. The movie will be very confusing at first, but rounds out its potent destination very wittingly and worthwhile. It's like a mirror of Christianity. The treasures of the entire world are right before Neo. Yet instead, he knows that behind the curtain, the ultimate truth stands. Films like these do not usually carry such an expensive roster of special effects, but the CGI in this is so well conducted, you might sometimes fail to believe it's CGI.
He started that off with, despite its foul language. I don't remember a lot of foul language in this movie.
Yeah, me neither.
I was going to say, they said some images not suitable for kids. I can't even imagine there's that much that's not suitable for kids.
Yeah. I mean, weirdly, like, it's an R-rated movie, but I've never understood why.
I was shocked it was that. It's got to be the blood. Like, that's it.
I don't know.
Yeah, my daughter came up and watched, like, the bank or the that last, like, shootout scene with me.
Yeah.
She liked it. Nicole Snitowski says 5 out of 5 stars. I usually never write reviews, but this movie is so cinematically genius that I simply need to. This is my favorite movie of all time.
When I first watched this movie, my jaw dropped and I completely fell in love with the concept. This film is so unique and different than what is usually created these days, and the special effects are mesmerizing, considering they were made about 22 years ago. Keanu Reeves, Carrie-Anne Moss, and Lawrence Fishburne were the perfect choices for these roles, and their performances are very well done. The fact that this movie received an 88 Rotten Tomatoes score only proves how ridiculous and rigged those types of scores are. I would definitely recommend this film if you love mind-bending, in-depth concepts and a taste of real cinematic imagery and creation.
Well, the Rotten Tomatoes score has gone down since she reviewed.
No.
I love how she was just so compelled to write a review. I never write reviews, but God damn it, The Matrix made me have to. Have to. She had to.
Frank Aaron says 2 out of 5 stars. I'm one of like 3 people left that hadn't watched this movie. It should have stayed that way. This movie is terrible and nearly unwatchable. It gets 2 stars because the premise of the movie is good, but the execution is terrible. The premise of the movie is appealing to intellectuals and people in general who think outside the box, or at least think. The execution of the movie appeals to teenage boys and adults with an IQ of 80. It would take a Herculean effort to take such a thought-provoking premise and do a worse job building out and telling the story. It took me 3 separate attempts to finally finish the movie. From any perspective, it's awful.
Wow.
Harsh.
Yeah. Wow.
We have a 1-star review from Legend Keemstar 6158, who says, "Very unhelpful. Did not help me at all for the matrices unit in my math class. I watched it 3 times straight, but it didn't cover how to find the inverse of a matrix. Shame."
Pretty damn funny.
Right on. Oh boy, yeah, The Matrix. I mean, I think this kind of was a hard one to talk about because it is still just a great movie. That's kind of how I feel about it. I going back to this one, I was surprised at how basic it felt compared to all the rest of the Matrix movies that have come since. They seem far more complex, but it was nice to go back to and revisit. Oh my goodness, like I haven't seen this movie in a while, and it was great to see it again. So, yeah, I thought it was still great. So, Chris, let's go over to you. I mean, you loved it coming in on this viewing. I mean, any new insights or what did you think of The Matrix?
I mean, I'm kind of where you're at. Like I said, this was one of my favorite movies when this came out. I watched this movie all the time, and any movie you watch that often, it just like it's gotta slow down and fall off your radar because you just see it too many times. And even if you like it, you're just like right on your phone because I've seen it. I don't need to watch it again. So I haven't really watched it in like I saw it in theaters when it got re-released. I don't know for it's been 25 years. It had to be 15th or 20th anniversary, so it's got to be like at least 5 years since I've seen it. And I genuinely remember sitting down the other day to watch it and being like, holy crap, this movie's phenomenal. Like this holds up, like in like every way. Like you said, cinematography, like it looks great. It's directed well, it's well acted, and it holds up as an action movie because it just goes and goes and goes, and it builds from like giving you little bits in the beginning to the end is just like a solid half hour of just awesome action. And the script is good. It's a great story. For a movie that I loved as a younger person that I would have thought like, eh, I kind of lost interest in it. It holds up. It's still just as good as I remember it being.
Colin, you found some new appreciations on this viewing, so
Yeah,
bring us home. What did you think of The Matrix?
I would say this movie is far better than I remember it being. I was just blown away by how good it was. Like how compelling the story is, how like great the performances are, specifically Lawrence Fishburne. And I mean I knew Hugo Weaving was good, but man, every time I see him, I'm just like, and the way he talks, like in this character, like just so good. It's so good.
Oh, the moment of him taking the earpiece out because he's going rogue. I mean, just little moments like that where, yeah, it's delicious with Hugo Weaving.
And like I love the cinematography. Like people might hate me for it's like very reminiscent of like it's very like Zack Snyder-ish before there was a Zack Snyder, which I love. It doesn't have the lighting, but I love that like slow, fast, like let's see every shard of glass fall like and break apart and that kind of stuff. Or even like when they pull up the helicopter and shoot the window out, and then Morpheus has his big like his whole run, like, and the rains, the water's falling, and when he gets shot in the ankle, and like,
The hail of bullets falling out of the helicopter.
yeah, like it's all just like it's so beautiful. And yeah, even I was again, I always think I in my mind, I always kind of view Keanu Reeves as this, kind of like a joke, unfortunately. And I don't know. I see why this movie ended up kind of being this one, and probably like Speed, I guess, kind of like the turning point from like his
Bill
weird
and
Bill
Ted.
and Ted, that type of stuff. It's yeah, I don't know. I love this movie, and I think weirdly, I'm hesitant to go watch Reloaded and Revolutions because I don't believe that they'll age as well. And I kind of like that this one, it's great as a standalone,
It is,
Yeah, absolutely.
which is really cool to me.
It
Yeah, you
benefits
don't
a
need
lot
the whole
from
arc.
the stuff they don't answer and they don't tell you. So when you go to the next movies and they start answering some of those questions, like, it's more fun to just let your mind
That's not
wander.
what I wanted the answer to be. That's not the right answer. Aw. And they just take everything that they did in this movie and said, okay, let's see how we can push it. And it doesn't always look as good. Because I remember that about the freeway chase, is some of it looks so good, and some of it is terrible in the next movie with the twins and
It's
I don't know.
impressive though, because
You've got a
like
point, Colin.
they still do a lot of practical stuff in the next one, but you can very clearly see looking back where they switch from this is a lot of practical to okay, here comes the full CGI animated scene that we're not quite ready for yet.
Believe it, like I'm pretty sure like the he like other than when it hits the building, obviously, but like the helicopter stuff is all that's like a real helicopter, right? Like that's not in front of a green screen or anything like that.
Well, it is. It's a full size pretend helicopter on a green screen gimbal.
I don't think it's a. I don't think the scene when they're shooting like Morpheus is in there and they're shooting into that room. I don't think that's a green screen. I forget what the term is, but there's a term for
No,
when they have
but
the big the backdrop that's like a curtain that like is so it's like
yeah,
it's.
but the crashing into the building
Oh
with
yeah,
the
that.
ripple effect.
Yeah.
That's the one I was talking about.
But even I'm talking about when they're like flying, like after he's grabbed and they're like flying away.
Oh, they're flying through.
That looked like
Oh,
legit to me.
no,
No, I think
that
that's a
is
stunt.
legit. And they got in trouble. They got in trouble from Australia. And Australia, they were filming. Where was it? Sydney, I believe. They had to rewrite some laws so that they could finish filming the stunt because, yeah, they got in trouble for going too low in Australian airspace. Yeah, so that part is legit. Them flying through the city with the helicopter. Yeah. I thought you were talking about the crash. That's not legit.
Yeah, no.
They didn't
They
crash it
didn't
into
crash that into a building?
that's no, they didn't crash it into a building.
I figured.
There we go. That's the Matrix, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy, a huge thank you to our special guest, Chris Gofredo. Chris, is there anything that you want to plug? I don't know.
I'm just gonna say thank you to you guys for having me on. I had a blast. I always like talking to you guys. I'm just gonna plug our mutual other podcast, Farm to Fable.
There we go.
I'm actually shooting with Michael or recording with Michael sometime this week for my next episode, so look for that coming too.
Right on. More on that in a second. So, well, no, thanks for joining us. As always, it's been a blast. If you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out, well, just tell people. Word of mouth is so important for a podcast trying to find an audience. Or you could go over to whatever app you listen to your podcast on and give us some stars. Give us 5 stars. Help use those algorithms of iTunes and all the podcatchers out there to help move us up some charts, help us get noticed. The more downloads, the more it looks good on the analytics, which means the more people that might accidentally come across our show, or if you want to be a financial supporter of the show, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne, become part of our Patreon family, and you get a shout out because you're an executive producer, just like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
And check out our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages. Drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like. Then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter in the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. Oh boy, Colin. About to close out Sci-Fi Month. We've had Power Rangers, Fifth Element, Matrix, but now we're taking it in another turn. And this is why it was. I thought it was funny that you brought up that you're about to record with Michael, because we're also about to record with Michael. That's right. Our next episode, the forever host of Farm to Fable, our mutual friends podcast, it will be here to talk some comedy sci-fi, Colin. You've never seen this one.
I have not. I'm like very apprehensive about it.
Yeah. But we got Spaceballs coming next week. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. But now, Mel Brooks, your only touch with Mel Brooks is still just Blazing Saddles, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. This will make me sound bad. I don't even know what movies Mel Brooks has done. Maybe I would. Did he do Robin Hood Men in Tights?
Robin Hood Men in Tights. Okay,
I haven't seen that anyways, but
Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, no.
The Producers.
No.
History of the World Part 1.
No.
Yeah, no. Okay, so we've lost you.
We've lost. Just Blazing Saddles, and we all know how I felt about that one, so we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll give you some good news. Spaceballs does feature John Candy.
Okay.
In a major role, so we do have some John Candy. Some John Candy you didn't know about coming your way.
Yeah, I feel like, what was the movie we were just watching?
Wagons East?
No, what movie did we watch recently where I was like so juvenile? I feel like that's going to be my it's going to be my critique of this movie.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah, quite possibly. But I love Spaceballs. I mean, it's going to be extra interesting because you're not even a huge Star Wars guy. And that's mostly what Spaceballs spoofs. So
yeah.
Well, there we go. So until next week, I'm Sean Wells. And
I am Colin Stewart.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you for Spaceballs on I Used to Like This One.
Spaceballs.